Welcome to Voices of Freedom. All right. The title of today's lesson is To Start Your Day Right. How do I do it? I start by praying. Start by maybe reading the Bible just a little bit. Start by thinking on something that the preacher or the Sunday school teacher may have taught me last week. And just kind of take it from there. And that's what I love about Saturday morning. My favorite morning of the week to broadcast. I know Sundays, everybody's trying to get the family ready to get to church and everything. So it's not quite maybe as easy to sit down and relax. It's more of a hustle and hustle kind of thing. So we're glad you're here, and we want to tell you about Jesus. And the thing is, sometimes we rush to a lesson, but this morning I'm just going to try to relax and just kind of tell you some of the things that I think the Lord has made a change in with me. And Paul says there in one or two places, you know, I'm delivering unto you that which I have received. And that's what I'd like to talk about, is the fact that when you listen to me, you're listening to a guy who couldn't utter a sentence without a cuss word in it, you know. He's about the lowest, most degenerate human that there ever was. You know what I'm saying? So when I look at the changes in my own life, that's sort of what I have to convey to the lost world or to the people I witness to is, man, you should have seen me when I was lost. You should have seen me when I was under conviction. You should have seen me in this situation. But guess what the Lord's done? The Lord brought me through that. The Lord set me on a new path. And, you know, as I was talking about some of the things that I had been through in my life yesterday, somebody said, man, you got to throw away the negative. I said, man, that is not negative to me. I said, every one of those failures, every one of those learning experiences, every one of those things is a building block toward what God wants us to be doing. Because when I read in the Bible about the people that God used the most, they always suffered the most. And you say, well, Lunsford, you don't really strike me as somebody that's suffering. And it could be like Paul. Paul had a thorn in his flesh. There was something Paul wanted rid of that he couldn't get rid of, or he wanted to attain that he couldn't attain. And since all he wanted to attain was for people to get saved, you know, he didn't care whether he went or whether he stayed. He said, it's all good to him. So he said, so I'm figuring it was something not so much that he wanted, but something maybe an ailment or something that he wanted rid of, and something that with all the work he was doing for the Lord, prayed about it to be taken away. But then he probably looked at his history like I do a lot of times, and he said, I don't really deserve it to be taken away. Now, don't miscommunicate that or don't misunderstand that. I'm not saying that when I went to the altar and I got saved that I picked all those sins up and I took them all with me. But I do believe that there is a reason that we can remember what we were, right? Do I dwell on what I was? Absolutely not. I don't want to dwell on it. I don't even want to think about it. But it's all for you now. It's for you that aren't saved. It's for you that need a touch from heaven. It's for you that need to see that somebody, right, somebody loves you enough to say, hey, I'm going to tell you my story so your story won't seem so bad. And that's usually what happens. You know, if I try to cry and tell you how bad my life is or how bad something is, and then somebody else tells you, and you're like, ooh, yeah, that is messed up. And that's kind of how this thing goes. And I wish that we could, you know, just kind of give a digital upload to everybody and they could listen to it. And that's what I love about this podcast is the way it goes out, I don't know who's listening. Anybody can click on it. Anybody can find these verses that we mentioned. You know, anybody can open up that Bible. And that's all we are, is we want to trigger you to do something. I'm not on here to try to save you. I'm not on here to push you. I'm not on here to tell you, you know, all the things that the Bible says, good or bad. But I am trying to tell you that your life could get a lot simpler. You may not make more money. You may not get a new car. You may not get a new house. You may not get out of your community that you're living in. But your life will change for the better the moment you surrender to Jesus Christ. That's the plan that God's had from all eternity. And because he created us in his likeness and his image, and because we started out with a relationship with him, you see, there's where in all the what would you call it? There's where all the aggravation lays, is in the middle, is because God had this plan from the beginning to have a relationship with us. Now, of course, he knew what Adam and Eve were going to do. He knew how he'd have to send Jesus. He knew how he'd have to do all these other things. So nothing surprises the Lord. being God and being in all places at all times, meaning he was yesterday, meaning he's here today, but he's already out there in the future. Now, that might be a little bit scientific. What is that? Science fiction for some of you. But I have to believe it. And you say, well, why do you have to believe it? Well, I have to believe it because it says in the Bible, he's at all places at all times. Omnipresent, I believe, is what it is. So if that be him, he's already with you in a place called heaven. You are already face-to-face, if you're saved, with Jesus in a place called heaven. That's why the eternal security thing is this. Eternal security, some people say you can't be, you can be out of fellowship. You can be. If you were ever saved and you had that moment, as we talked about that come to Jesus moment, if you ever had that moment and you got saved, I believe that you're in heaven forever. Now, can I stump my growth? Can I stump my reward? Can I be, you know, da-da-da-da? It says here in the Bible, if you be faithful over a few things, I will make you ruler over many. Stop and think about that for a second. If you will be faithful over a few things as a Christian, God will make you ruler over many. I get a lot of stuff out of that. You know one thing I get there's an order in heaven, right? I get in another place where it says the first shall be last and the last shall be first. So the person that's running around thinking that they're setting the world on fire for Jesus and they're doing all this great work for Jesus Christ, I hope you are, but you might be last. Now, I'm not trying to discourage you, but I'm just trying to say the self-righteous, the people that never let the pride and the arrogance that they had as a sinner go, when they got saved, there's a real good chance that you might think you're first, but you might be last. And these people that have been humble and that have done what's been asked of them and sacrificed and given when they didn't have it to give and just had a heart for the poor and the lonely and the broken down, I'm telling you, I believe there's something big time in this thing for you. I swan I do. Now, what else we got? Well, when Jesus makes that change in your life and you become a new creature in his eyes and he wipes the sin away, and when he looks at you just like you've never sinned. Now, the awesome part of that is, sometimes we can't get past what our neighbor thinks about us. We can't get past what our, you know, I don't know, everybody, ex-husband, current husband, current wife, current whatever. But the idea should excite us that no matter what anybody thinks, I'm a new creature in Christ. And for a lot of years, that was something that I really leaned on, was the fact that, you know what, I can't change my circumstance. I can't change the things that are going on, but let me tell you what I can do. I can look at this Bible, and it tells me I'm a new creature in Christ. It tells me my sins are as far as the east is from the west from each other. They're separated out from me, and they went one way, and I went with Jesus the other way. And that ought to be exciting. So with all that said, what's the next big thing? Well, the next big thing is, I start telling people what Jesus has done for me, and that's what I try to do with this podcast. What is your big job for Jesus if you get saved today? The big job for Jesus is to tell other people what Jesus has done for you. What has he done for you? We had that lesson a couple of days ago about the 40 free gifts that we get when we get saved. Man, is Jesus doing something for you there or what? We had a discussion about when God looked at us and he saw how everything that man did continuously was evil and he went to destroy the ark, he still saved Noah. When the children of Israel were captive in Egypt, he raised up a man to go. If you notice, Noah went, Moses went. You notice in this Bible, if you get over there in Hebrews chapter 11, God sends man to do the work. There's so many times I look at things and I see what could be done and I think, well, if people would just come together for the Lord Jesus Christ, man, oh man, what could be? I mean, it's just like I had a discussion yesterday and the truth is just what it is. I can sit down on a sheet of paper and I can figure a budget or a plan of exactly what's supposed to happen. what could happen, how it should happen, and the results of what it could be, that people will not cooperate. People will not come forward, and they will not do their part. And it's in a lot of different things. I mean, you can say, well, it's in politics. You can say, well, it's in, you know, the school system. Well, it's in corporate America. Well, you know, it's in health care. It's in health insurance. It's in, you know, it's in everything. People won't sit down and look at it and say, look, we got to sit down and make this work out because it needs to work. And it's the same thing with Jesus. Just like this morning, I've sat down here and I'm thinking about Jesus. And what am I thinking? Just all the great things that he's done for me. Has he given me everything I've ever wanted? Pretty close. Pretty close. You know, there's a couple of things that I wish I could do that were goals that I had that I might even be able to say they were thorns in my flesh, just like Paul said. There are things that I want to be able to do for the Lord Jesus Christ. Great things. And I'm a little constrained. And I have to be honest with you. I tell you, is God constrained to me because I couldn't handle the fame or the fortune that would go with something like that? Or is God just got me to that level yet where he's ready to turn it loose? Or, you know, am I just, is it a vanities thing like we learned in Wednesday night Sunday school lesson that Matt Thompson has done such a great job of teaching? See, vanity is a big thing. Sometimes we'll chase and chase and chase on something, and you catch it, and you realize, well, what is this? And that's kind of where Solomon went. We'll maybe talk about Solomon for a few minutes there and then close it out and let you go on with your day. But what Solomon did that was so amazing is Solomon, as a young man, prayed for wisdom and understanding when God said, pray for anything you want. And he prayed for wisdom and understanding, and it moved God in such a way that God gave him the wisdom and understanding to be the smartest man probably that ever lived, but definitely for his time. But not only that, but he gave him all the fame and all the fortune and all the power and all the other stuff that goes with it, fully knowing what Solomon was going to end up doing, because Solomon gets a little bit off track. But Solomon does a study. He's got the resources, and his study is what is the meaning of life, and that's really, I mean, as far as a quick title, that's probably as good as anything. So what is the meaning of life, and he comes back with everything is a vapor. Everything is vanity. Everything passes away. Nothing matters. There's nothing new under the sun. And all the things under the sun were created by the sun, S-O-N. So what's the deal? Solomon said, I missed something along the way. And what that was is I could have had better fellowship with the one true God. So this morning, as we sit and have a cup of coffee and look around and relax a little bit, start your day with Jesus. Pray a little bit, read a little bit of scripture, think about the lesson you heard, tune into the 107.9 or some kind of a lesson, and get a good sound Bible lesson and start thinking about where your heart needs to be. Because, look, I don't know what stage your career is in, but there's a good chance you cannot change the path it's on now. I don't know what stage your marriage is in, but there's a good chance that wherever it is wherever it is, you know. I don't know what your kids are into, but there's a good chance. But there is something that you can change about yourself that's going to change your life forever. And that's Jesus. Jesus Christ will change your life forever. And come back and get you one day and take you to heaven, and he'll be with you forever and you'll be with him. The proof of that is in John chapter 14. Start in verse 1, read through about verse 10 or 12. See, God's always had the plan for this. His plan's always been to come and get those who wanted a relationship with him. Do you not want that relationship? I believe we should. Try to get that relationship. Try to be what Jesus wants you to be. try to get in the game with Jesus. His plan is eternal. He wants the best for you. Well, I can't live it. Yeah, you're right. But guess what? The Holy Spirit of God will live inside of you and help you live it if you surrender. How do I surrender? Where you're at, just get down on your knees and say, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me. I'm a sinner. I've done this. And here's the thing. I don't think God wants to hear, I sin. Thank you, Lord. And you get up from that. I think God wants to hear, look, I cuss every breath. I stole something. I stole another man's wife. I think God wants to hear some specifics, not for you to pray out loud, but I think God wants to hear some specifics from you, okay? Because he wants you to know that you know that you're a sinner. Because I'm not confessing my sins to God because God doesn't know. I'm confessing my sins to God so he knows that I know. Does that make sense? Because I think that's where we start to make some progress. Because God's already seen it all. He's already, as Solomon also goes on and says there in those lessons, or those chapters of his book, he says, there's nothing new. You know, you may think you're doing something new, but you're not doing anything new. You're not acting any way any different than anybody else has ever done. You're not doing anything any different than anybody else has ever done. You're not being any more cruel. You're not being any more kind. You're not suffering anymore. You're not working any harder. I mean, absolutely, whatever you think you're doing, it's been done before. Now, let's get serious about this thing, and you claim you're part of the inheritance because you can be a joint heir with Jesus Christ. You can be a son of God if you believe in Jesus, if you accept the work that Jesus has done for you. Man, we ought to be excited about that. Have a great day. Talk to you soon. God bless.